In 1969, the gay bar known as the Stonewall Inn became a flashpoint for LGBT rights in the United States. Police had raided the bar, which resulted in a fierce multi-day protest and riots. For many, Stonewall was a turning point in this country's fight to establish LGBTQ plus rights in this country. And less than a decade ago, this site was made a national monument. In fact, it was the first U.S. monument dedicated to LGBT plus rights and history. This week, the National Park Service removed references to transgender and queer people from the website of the Stonewall National Monument. You will no longer find the terms transgender, queer, or even LGBTQ on the website. The acronym has been shortened to LGB and references erased from the text. This comes at a time when transgender rights and privileges are being stripped away. Gender-affirming care is abruptly denied, and transgender, queer, and any identity that is non-binary is being vilified, scapegoated, and erased. In light of all of this, I want to say unequivocally that trans lives matter. People who are transgender have existed in every time and in every place and will always be beloved children of God. As the parish of Good Samaritan and the Episcopal Church as a whole, we are in solidarity with our trans siblings in Christ. We see them for the beautiful people they are. We appreciate them and all that the trans community has brought to society. We learn from them. We love them. We will protect them and insist on their rights. People who are LGBTQ plus and their allies are always welcome in this church and welcome to participate in every sacrament or ministry or program that we offer. Trans lives matter. Speaking against those who would counter with the slogan, "All lives matter," author Jason Reynolds has this to say. If you say no, all lives matter, what I would say is, I believe that you believe all lives matter. But because the life that I live, I am certain that in this country, all lives don't matter. I know for a fact, based on the numbers, my life hasn't mattered. That black women's lives definitely haven't mattered. That black trans people's lives haven't mattered. That black gay people's lives haven't mattered. That immigrants' lives don't matter. That Muslims' lives don't matter. The indigenous people of this country's lives have never mattered. I mean, we could go on and on. And that's where he ends. Despite arguments to the contrary, to say that trans or black lives or immigrant lives or indigenous lives matter is not saying that my cis white man life doesn't matter. However, and this is a powerful however, to paraphrase blogger Ayanna Lage, all lives can't matter until black or trans or any other discriminated lives matter. It causes us to face the reality, but it really is that simple. Until all lives really, truly, and actually matter, both in theory and practice, the statement all lives matter is false. We need all lives, all people, on equal footing with equal access to everything. before we dare to say that all lives matter on a national or a global scale. Which brings me to Jesus. Although I will admit that as a priest, most everything brings me to Jesus. I am a professional Christian, after all. Our gospel begins by telling us that Jesus comes down a mountain, and he settles on what many translations describe as a level plain. And then he teaches a multitude of his followers. Jesus had previously come up the mountain from the sea and settled down in the middle, a level plain, a middle place. So that no one was more elevated than anyone else, and no one was lower than anyone else. Everyone was on the same level. Those who had been up high were lowered. Those who were low were raised. And I believe that this is as much a physical reality as it is a statement about the way God views all of humanity. Just hold that idea in your head. Then Jesus proceeds to tell some things that I am sure both to us and to the people he's preaching to that sound a little bit backwards. Blessed are you who are poor. Woe to you who are rich. Blessed are you who are hungry. Woe to you who are well fed. Blessed are you who weep. Woe to you who laugh. Blessed are the reviled. Woe to you that are popular. These statements are the exact opposite of how things work in our current world. The Greek word for blessed here, makarios, it has connotations more in line with happy. Happy are, or even blissful. Blissful are you who are poor. It doesn't confer a blessing, rather it recognizes an existing state of happiness. So you might be asking yourselves then at this point, does Jesus really think that being poor or hungry or sad or hated are good things? Of course not. Of course not. There is no blessedness in starving. There is no blessedness in being poor. Jesus is not trying to extol suffering. God doesn't want people sad and miserable. Rather, the blessing comes when those things are eradicated. The happiness comes when there is an alleviation from the misery. When poverty ends, happy are those who are poor. When there is enough food, happy are those that are hungry. When sadness ends, happy are those who weep. But happiness also comes to those whose empathy causes them to weep with those who are starving or poor or sad. Because here's the crux. It is impossible to have true and authentic joy at the expense of or in the presence of the misery of others. It's not possible. All lives can't matter until the most persecuted and marginalized lives matter. The blessings here that Jesus proclaims, they hold up something to be praised, which we are also called to imitate. The woes, on the other hand, are meant to stir a change in our hearts and mind that will lead to abundant life for all. And oftentimes, we hear these woes coming out of Jesus' mouth and think that they are a warning to us. Change your ways, or you will be woeful. But they're not. According to Bible scholar Fred Craddock, Jesus is making the official proclamation of the way life is inside and outside the reign of God. These are not suggestions about how to be happy or warnings lest one become miserable. Blessings and woes as words of Jesus are to be heard with the assurance that they are God's words to us, and that God's word is not empty. So blissful for you who are poor, hungry, weeping, and reviled, because in time you won't be. Your current state is not forever. Martin Luther King Jr. once said that the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice. Jesus is saying something similar on the plain. But how? If you recall many weeks ago, we heard a similar message from Mary, Jesus' mother. She sang in the Magnificat, God has brought down the mighty, the powerful from their thrones and has lifted up the lowly. God has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. A full belly doesn't need more food, but a hungry one does. A powerful person doesn't need more power, but a powerless one does. Billionaires don't need more money, but those who can't afford food or clothing or shelter do. Cis and white men don't need more rights, but trans and black women do. Happy are you who are rich when you give to the poor. Happy are you who are well fed when you share your bounty. Happy are you who laugh when you end the conditions that make others sad and miserable. The rich and the full and the laughing are called to be less because in God's realm, there won't be these huge discrepancies. There won't be the haves and the have-nots with these excesses between them, which is great news for those who are at the bottom, but terrifying to those who are at the top. Whether they want to or not, they will not always be able to live to excess at the cost of others or while they suffer. There will come a day when everyone will have what everyone needs. That is God's reign. In God's realm, all people are already equal. All lives really and truly already matter. And here to the people already on the level of one another, Jesus announces the presence and inbreaking of that kingdom. It's already begun. And Jesus invites us to help bring about that reality. The reality where trans lives matter, black lives matter. And because all lives that have not fully mattered to the world finally matter, then we can truly say that all lives without a doubt matter. This is God's reality. This is the reign that Jesus proclaimed and began ushering in. This is where the long arc ends, thank God. We all have a role to play. What is yours?